Hello and welcome to the first episode of Let Loose. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatal from the In the Money Players podcast. Very happy to be here with you and happy to be joined for this special show by a horse player you've come to know and love. He normally resides in the planet Texas. He's here with us today from Saratoga Springs, New York. We call him the people's champion around here. He's Jonathan Kinch. And JK, what's up?
PTF, what's going on? You got some nice decorations in the back there. What is this, a sheet? Is that what we got, a horse sheet?
It's not a sheet. It's curtains. We got horsey curtains where we're in a Saratoga frame of mind, and how appropriate that we are with these three grade ones we're going to be talking about a little bit later on the show, as well as a look ahead to the Kentucky Derby, which is upon us now, finally, as we're in early August. Before we get rocking and rolling, though, JK, just want to let viewers know that there's no better time to sign up for a Twin Spires account. Friends of the In the Money podcast can sign up with the code ITM200 to get a risk-free win bet up to 200. Download the Twin Spires app or visit twinspires.com. Use that code ITM200 to get your risk-free $200 win bet now. JK, big weekend of racing. We've got these grade ones. We've got an array of other stakes races, some live-looking maidens as well. If you were to pick one race that you're most looking forward to on the weekend, what would it be?
Yeah, man, you know, I think it'd have to be the test. I'm excited to see Gamine get back racing again. I've got a couple of friends that have horses in the race. Obviously, Dominic Civitas with Venetian Harbor and Jake Ballas and Black Type Thoroughbreds with Up in Smoke. So it's a lot of fun. That race is going to be exciting to watch. Gamine, obviously, is going to be a tough foe, but I think that Venetian Harbor could potentially give her some pressure from the outside. And if those two go too fast, I think Up in Smoke could kind of do her patented late move running down the middle of the track, going 7 furlongs for the first time. So I'm excited about that race.
We'll put a pin in that, and we're going to come back to some serious form analysis of the test in just a minute. But let's start off with what has to be considered the main event of the weekend. It is the Grade 1 Traverse Stakes, so unusual to have it in a time I typically think of associated with the Whitney weekend as opposed to the Traverse, but makes sense with this rejiggered calendar and the Kentucky Derby being the first Saturday in September this year. And we got to start off with the heavy favorite in this race, Tis the Law. Can this horse, who's been so impressive, been on our radar since he broke his maiden up here 1 year ago, can he be beaten in this year's Traverse?
I think he can be beaten. You know, obviously he's the most accomplished three-year-old so far, but I think he's going to have a legitimate foe down to his inside in Uncle Chuck, who shows up from California for Bob Baffert. We saw as recent as last weekend what happens when Bob Baffert puts one on a plane, ships him out east, and probable winning the Whitney. And I think Uncle Chuck's going to be tough from the inside. I'm not the most adept when it comes to looking at how horses move. It's not my strong suit, but when I can tell that one moves well, they move well. And Uncle Chuck, you can just see him reaching in those workouts. I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of horse he is. He's lightly raced. Some of his races are right up there with Tis the Law, who's got obviously a lot more experience. I think Uncle Chuck could make another step forward, and I dare compare him to the late, great Arrogate, but I think that he's at least pointing in that direction.
I want to talk to you about Tis the Law and the track work he's been doing, because I agree with you. Uncle Chuck has been extremely impressive, but I'm not giving that as much count as I might, just because I feel like Tis the Law has been equally impressive, looking like he's ready to tear off and continue potentially to improve in his workouts. Have you had a chance to see how he's moving on the track? And give me another thought just generally about Tis the Law and how good you think he is and how good you think he might be yet.
Well, I mean, obviously, Tis the Law, is, like I said, has done quite a bit in his career so far, winning the Florida Derby, winning the Belmont Stakes, the mile and an eighth Belmont Stakes, the first leg of the Triple Crown. And obviously, it's a home game for him. He broke his maiden here at Saratoga. His ownership group is New York through and through. And so it's, obviously, they've been pointing to this spot. He has been working well. The problem I have is that he's good. But Uncle Chuck is close enough to him so far in his young career and his short career. I feel like there's a possibility that Uncle Chuck could continue to progress. He's fast. He's going to go to the front end, I would imagine. It's what Baffert's horses typically do when they show up here in California. He's drawn to the inside. And I think it could look a little bit like what Arrogate did. Maybe not that big of a margin, but an attempt to wire the field.
I was going to ask you about the pace scenario. Do you think Uncle Chuck will be out there by himself, or do you think he might face pace pressure from some others in this field?
Well, it's always tricky. You know, there's always horses that are going to possibly try to get out there and add a little pressure. But I feel like Uncle Chuck is naturally faster than those. He's got that kind of California speed coming out here. He's drawn to the inside. He gets Louis Saez, a very aggressive rider. You know the intentions of Baffert and Louis are going to be to put that horse on the front end. If someone tries to go, obviously, I would think Uncle Chuck could probably take back and try to get outside. But it feels like anyone trying to go with Uncle Chuck early might be a bit of a kamikaze mission, and I think they'll probably try to stay away from that.
Max Player is a horse I want to talk about as well. We've spoke about him on the show as one who shapes like he's going to enjoy the 10 furlongs of this race. He seems to be flying a bit under the radar at the moment. Do you think he's potentially a player here or in a few weeks' time for the Run for the Roses?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a horse that's going to appreciate more distance. I think a mile and a quarter of the Travers, a mile and a quarter of the Kentucky Derby are things that he's going to appreciate. And we've talked about the pace, whether Uncle Chuck gets pressure or not, you'd think they're going to run a little bit on the front end, setting it up potentially for a horse like Max Player. He's a horse that, you know, will offer a lot of value. All the money is going to go towards Uncle Chuck and towards Tis the Law. And then Max Player is probably going to be forgotten on the board and be an attractive price if you feel as if the pace could fall apart or Max Player is going to thrive going the mile and a quarter.
All right. It's time for the rubber to meet the road, my friend. How are you going to be playing this year's Travers Stakes?
Uncle Chuck, you know, I think maybe in multi-races, I'll probably use multi-race bets. I'll probably use both of them, maybe with a little extra umph on Uncle Chuck. I think there's, the price is going to be fair enough considering what kind of animal we might be dealing with. And I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not going to be shocked at all if Tis the Law wins. But I think that Tis the Law's price is going to be fairly short. I'd imagine he'll be odds on or pretty darn close to it. Uncle Chuck could possibly drift to 2-1 if some other horses can take some money.
All right. Well, longtime listeners of ours know that we like to do these head-to-head wagers from time to time, JK. And I believe my all-time record against you right now, I lost again the last one we did. So I think it's now 14-192 or something like that. But I'm going to try to get back on the good foot. And I'm going to ask you to give me the best of it in terms of what the win market is going to be. Will you accept the challenge? If I make Tis the Law my pick, will you take Uncle Chuck heads up against me in the Travers on Saturday?
Pete, I got to be honest with you. I would take the 85 Bears versus a little league team in a head-to-head with you. It's whatever you let me know how you want to do it. No,
let's,
but absolutely,
do it.
Uncle Chuck works for me.
Excellent. Let's move on to the Test Stakes. You talked about this before as one of the races of the weekend you're most looking forward to. How good is Gamine, JK?
I think she's pretty good. I think she's pretty talented. If you saw the Acorn, obviously a record-breaking performance that she had in the Acorn. It was unbelievable from a visual standpoint. It was unbelievable from a buyer speed figure standpoint. It was just a fast race, and she's a fast horse. And she was an expensive horse, so it's great to see a horse like that pan out. It's it doesn't always work that way when you buy an expensive one. And I just think if she runs her Acorn, they're all running for second. Venetian Harbor's running for second. Up in Smoke's running for second. They are all running for second if she runs the race that she ran in the Acorn. But like you've seen before, we were standing next to each other when American Pharoah got beat up here by Keen Ice. And so it's obviously something that can happen, and they have to run the race. But she's going to be a big press for me, and I'll have some savers using the other two that I mentioned, Venetian Harbor and Up in Smoke.
There's still a chalk outline of my body in the paddock bar from where I was lying prone after the shock of having our pick six blown up that day by Keen Ice beating American Pharoah. My one, it's not a knock on Gamine. I agree. Most talented, most likely winner. But is it possible? We've seen some of these horses who were front running on the last day not quite back up the effort the way they did last time when they come back to the track. Is it possible that there was a pace and track edge that helped her last time that's not going to be the same with a serious pace rival like Venetian Harbor to her outside?
Well, I mean, I think that so far for the meet, speed and that inside paths have been okay. So you'd project that Gamine will get to that spot, even if she is getting pressure from the outside from Venetian Harbor. But look, I just think that she's just that much faster than these. Like I said, if she runs the race that she ran in the Acorn, this conversation is is a waste of 2 minutes. Now, if it happens, and it does, it can happen from time to time. If Venetian Harbor hooks her at the 3/8 pole, suddenly they're having to go earlier than they both prefer. Maybe it sets it up for someone else. Maybe Venetian Harbor has been screaming for the 7 furlongs all along, and they just kind of got hooked into the Kentucky Oaks trail, and now they're taking that step back. They're going to try her in the grade one going the 7 furlongs. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's what changes it. But on paper, there's nothing about Gamine that suggests she's not going to run well. She shipped well before. She's run well at other racetracks, so you don't think that the racetrack's going to be a problem. She's tactical enough to be able to avoid any issues from the inside. She's got a Hall of Fame trainer who wins a lot of dirt races in Saratoga. I really don't see an issue with her, and she's got the cutback in her favor, cutting back from the one-turn mile to the 7/8.
I was going to ask about Venetian Harbor and was wondering if she might not step up on this cutback in distance. I do think that that is going to quite possibly be the case and could create a very different pace scenario. But what do you think? What's your gut about Venetian Harbor and what her best distance is eventually going to be?
I think that this ultimately could be her best distance. But I also don't think that the mile and eighth and the Kentucky Oaks would be a problem for her either. She's run well in races that are a little bit longer. My biggest thing with Venetian Harbor is that if Gamine wasn't in the race, I'd love her in this situation. The cutback and, you know, has a lot of speed, and maybe she's been wanting to do this. But even if this is what she wants to do, and even if this is ultimately what she's going to be best at, she's going to have to deal with a very, very quality filly in Gamine. It reminds me a little bit of last year's test, where Serengeti Empress, I think, was doing what she wanted to do with that cutback to the 7 furlongs that we saw in the test, but she ran into Covfefe, who went on to be a champion. So I feel like that's kind of the same situation with Venetian Harbor. Although she might enjoy this, I don't think she's going to enjoy running next to Gamine.
How do you see yourself playing this race, JK?
Yeah, I mean, I think in multi-race bets, which is where I usually focus most of my attention, I'll probably single A Gamine with some presses through her, and then use Venetian Harbor and Up and Smoke defensively. I will say this about Up and Smoke. She does not like being towards the inside, and she did draw the rail, and I think the plan is going to be to try to get her off of the rail, and so she can make that move that she made so many times at Gulfstream, right down the middle of the track. So this is the first time she's going to get 7/8. This is the first time she's going to get a race with a lot of pace in it. I know she's a little bit light from a speed figure standpoint, but everything could kind of align in a way that she could be able to pick up some pieces here, so I'm interested to see her run.
I see the piece picking up happening too, but the horse, as much as I love Up and Smoke and could see her also running on for a piece, a horse I think could really take leaps and bounds forward with the pace scenario if Venetian Harbor fires the way I think she's going to and keeps Gamine honest, is Mrs. Danvers. This is a horse I'm definitely going to be using for a tiny bit on top, mostly underneath, with the idea that maybe Gamine and Venetian Harbor beat each other up, one of them's done enough, and Mrs. Danvers can come running late to maybe catch an exacta slice behind one of those big two. Certainly in my trifectas, Up and Smoke will be used underneath as well. And here's my head-to-head challenge for this race. In market terms, I'll give you the best of it this time because I do believe Gamine will be odds on. But will you take Gamine and I can take all the rest in the test?
How about we flip it? How about I take Up and Smoke, and you can have Mrs. Danvers because I was going to tell you I don't think Mrs. Danvers is going to hit the board.
Let's do it, man. I want to see how this plays out. It'll be a very funny bet, though, where I'll be cheering for myself to lose because I like Black Type Thoroughbred so much. But whatever, it's still that's the way we're going to play it in this year's test. Let's talk about the Ballerina. And in many ways, JK, I know for you, this is the most significant wheat race of the weekend. And that's because you have a wager with a mutual friend of ours for a certain amount of jelly beans. This wager was made right after the Kentucky Oaks that Serengeti Empress would not win another grade one. Is this going to be the day where our buddy stuffs you in a locker and you've got to come up with the jelly beans?
Yeah, right after the Kentucky Oaks and right before I became friends with her trainer, who I had to admit that I have to root against her in grade one races. Tom Amos said earlier this year that he didn't want to switch distances with her. He felt like she's got one way of going. She wants to go to the front end, and he wanted to kind of keep it that way. And obviously the last couple of races haven't gone well for her, and this spot just made sense for them to try. I have to think he's not encouraged about the rail draw for a filly who wants to get to the front. if she takes one slight step off, she's not going to get to the front because Cookie Dough is right outside of her, who obviously has a ton of speed. And Serengeti Empress is familiar with Cookie Dough. Cookie Dough is the filly that carried her out in the Apple Blossom as a horse that was a pace problem for her. And I think Cookie Dough could be a pace problem for her again today. So I think that a lot of this is in aligned for her to run well, but I'm going to try to beat her in here as well. I'm going to give Bellafina another shot. I know she doesn't run well out of California, but I do feel like the 7/8 is something that she's always kind of just, that's her perfect little distance. And she ran well last time. I think it's a confident move for them to bring her out here to try again in this grade one. I think she should get a nice little setup with some speed to her inside. And I think Bellafina could be dangerous in here. So I'm going to lean mostly on Bellafina. But I also like the other filly to her outside, Latruska, who gets Ricardo Santana back. It's run well in the past as well. And maybe the cutback for her is something she'll appreciate as well.
We're singing the same tune in this one, JK, so no head-to-heads possible, I'm afraid. I like Bellafina. You make the point about California, and it is stark. 12 for 12 in the exacta in California, 0 for 4 out of California, but I trust connections to put her in the right spot. You made a great case, didn't leave a ton of meat on the bone here, but I also just think it's going to get an absolutely perfect trip. Bellafina for both of us in the Ballerina. And let's look ahead, JK, to this year's Kentucky Derby a little more directly. It's been in the background of this whole conversation, but we do have the Derby future wager on for the weekend. We're looking on the screen at the various prices of the morning line, obviously subject to change due to the parimutuel nature of this pool. But if I hold your feet to the fire, JK, who would you bet in the big one at these odds?
You know, I was looking at the odds, and I think when you're looking at these future bets, you always have to ask yourself, can I get this price on the day, or how close to this price can I get on the day? And given what you might see in some of these preps moving forward, I think a good starting point for the conversation is the two horses on the bottom of the list, Tis the Law and Uncle Chuck. Tis the Law listed at 9-5 on the morning line, Uncle Chuck at 6-1. If Tis the Law wins this race, he's still going to probably be 9-5-ish in the Derby. So why take that now? Uncle Chuck, on the other hand, who's 6-1, if he wins this race, he's probably going to end up being the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. Just based on the fact that Bob Baffert's won 5 of those, he's won 3, you know, 2 Triple Crowns. You know, I think that Uncle Chuck winning the Travers, beating Tis the Law, his price would go down from 6-1. So maybe there is some value there. Another horse that I thought was interesting in here was Rushy is a horse for that I thought was interesting for Michael McCarthy, 50-1 here. I know Michael McCarthy's always been pretty high on this horse, thinks that extra ground. He's kind of a grindy type of horse. And so he's 50-1 here on the board. I don't know where he's going to show up next and if he's going to make the starting gate, but he's got some talent. And I think at 50-1 makes a little bit of sense.
I wanted to follow up with you. We didn't talk on the early week show, but about Honor AP and this one who was on the second line of the betting in all the anti-post markets for the Kentucky Derby. How much did he lose in your eyes with the run last weekend and the shared belief? Is he still a valid contender for the big one?
I don't think he lost much because he didn't really have much for me. I've just never really been an Honor AP guy. I get it. Makes sense. But I just wasn't overly enthused about his run. When he beat Authentic, which I thought was good. I'm not really sure how good Authentic is. I know he won the Haskell, but barely. I'm not sure he wants the extra distance. So Honor AP is one that – and I don't really like horses that need to come from out of it. And he feels like a horse that's going to be sitting in kind of that third flight in the Derby. And you got to have so many things go your way in those situations. So he didn't lose much because he didn't have much.
A little harsh by my reckoning. I still think this is one who maybe deserves another chance to be ready to be in tune for the big target on the first Saturday in September. We shall see. I do want to bring up Thousand Words. Now, this is a horse, JK, at one point when the Kentucky Derby was meant to be on the first Saturday in May. Don't know if you even remember this, but you actually guaranteed he'd hit the board in the Derby. That prediction didn't look so hot for a while. Now maybe it's looking a little bit better. How are you feeling about Thousand Words as a horse to run in underneath in the number, at least in the super, in the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, I still feel great about it. I actually had Bob Baffert on JK Plus One this week, and I told him the story that I guaranteed the horse was going to hit the board. So I told him I appreciated him riding the ship with that horse. Just a grindy type of horse. It's going to have a nice foundation. Like I mentioned earlier, he's trained by a guy who's won 5 Kentucky Derbies. Just makes sense. Feels like a horse that will just keep plugging along, and I like him to hit the board in the Kentucky Derby.
Now, I have it first in my queue to listen to this JK Plus One epic episode with Baffert. It's getting incredible reviews across the board. But the one question I haven't heard anybody ask you about it is, did you have your silver wig on for the entirety of the 2.5 hours, or did it get a little hot? You had to, like, take it off for a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that would be a bad idea, and I didn't have it with me. It was in the cleaners. It's getting ready for the Travers on Saturday.
I can tell from who you've selected that the silver wig will be in full effect this Saturday. Last topic of the show, we've got the Ellis Park Derby on Sunday, worth 50 Derby points to the winner. Art Collector making his return to the race as he's way up there in those future wager odds. What did you think of his last run? I know we haven't had time to handicap the race as we sit here on Thursday, but are you inclined to look for reasons to bet on Art Collector or against him come this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously price-dependent, but I think he's the most likely winner of the race without a doubt. The way he ran in the bluegrass was extremely impressive, and pretty much all of his runs this year have been visually impressive. So a really cool horse, listed at 6-1 on the Derby future wager. I don't know about that. Even if he wins the race at Ellis this weekend, it still feels like he's probably going to be 6-1-ish on Derby day. So I would take a wait-and-see approach with him as far as the future wager, unless maybe you're dabbling in the exactas or whatever, but I think that he's definitely the most likely winner this weekend at Ellis, and he's a very talented horse.
You can only play one horse this weekend, JK. Who's it going to be? It can be in a race we discussed, or it can be in another race you've looked at as well.
I'm going to bet Uncle Chuck. I think Uncle Chuck is there's an opportunity there with Tis the Law being a fan favorite, and Tis the Law obviously is going to take a lot of money. It's not often that you get an undefeated Baffert horse as a second choice. And so I'm looking forward to betting Uncle Chuck.
For me, I'm going to go with Bellafina as the best that I've seen so far on the weekend. I think is going to offer just enough value to be worth getting stuck into. I want to remind folks before we get out of here that there's no better time to sign up for your Twin Spires account and friends of ours, and that means anybody listening to or watching this, get this bonus. If you use the promo code ITM200, you get a free win bet up to 200. This is a good way to do one of these promos. You can download the Twin Spires app or visit twinspires.com. Use that ITM200 code to get your risk-free bet. And that's it, JK. That's all the time we have. I want to thank you. I want to thank our friends at Twin Spires. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, downloading, streaming, watching. We appreciate all the support as we get many new exciting endeavors on this network, including this new partnership with our friends at Twin Spires. We will be back next week. May you win all your photos.